world comes together to tackle a rising yen.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. When the Tokyo stock market opened today, finance officials from the Group of Seven Developed Economies, the G7, had an announcement to make. They will intervene to weaken the Japanese yen, which has surged to record levels following the earthquake and tsunami in Japan. The yen promptly dropped 4%. Marketplace's Stephen Beard explains.
The Japanese central bank began selling yen when their currency markets opened this morning. The European central bank did the same at the start of European trading, and the Fed is expected to follow suit. This is the first G7 currency intervention for more than a decade. It's a mark of international sympathy for Japan following the earthquake. The rising yen had threatened to eat into Japanese exports and damage the country's economy even further. Neil McGregor of the VTB Capital Group believes the G7 move will pay off.
I dare say that the G7 may have to intervene again just to make the point with the currency markets. But if the G7 gets involved, there's typically been a much better chance of intervention proving effective.
The yen had been rising since the quake on expectations of a flood of money back into Japan. It's thought that Japanese insurance companies may have to sell their foreign investments and bring the money home to pay the multi-billion yen insurance claims. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up across the globe. Tokyo shares closed almost 3% higher today. A big milestone today here in the U.S. as we emerge from the financial crisis that sparked the global economic downturn. Today, the Federal Reserve is expected to lift crisis-era restrictions on banks that have passed the most recent round of stress tests. That means banks will be able to raise dividends and buy back shares. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 161 points to close at 11,774. To the nuclear disaster in Japan now, the country's nuclear safety agency this morning raised the level of the crisis at Fukushima Daiichi from a 4 to a 5 on an international scale of 7. U.S. officials, meanwhile, are worried about safety of reactors in this country, and a new report finds the government could do a lot more to enforce regulations. From Washington, Marketplace's David Gura reports.
The Union of Concerned Scientists looked at the 14 significant incidents that occurred at U.S. reactors in 2010. David Wright directs its global security program.
If there's a common theme among last year's near misses, it's that none would have happened had prior warning flags been heeded rather than discounted or ignored.
There was flooding and equipment failure, a fire at a facility in Virginia. The nonprofit estimates the government audits only a small percentage of what happens at nuclear plants every year. Roger Hanna is a spokesman for the Nuclear Regulatory Commission.
It would certainly be a true statement to say that we don't look at 100% of the activities at any nuclear plant, but we do take a very broad cross-section of those activities.
Reactors are complex, Hanna says, and the commission has a limited number of staff and a limited number of resources. There were some success stories in the report. According to David Wright, persistent regulators staved off serious problems at 3 power plants, and in those 14 incidents, no one was harmed. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
In New Hampshire, cigarette taxes could be going down. Lawmakers in the Granite State passed a bill yesterday that would cut the state's cigarette tax by 10 cents to $1.68 a pack. That's to attract frugal smokers from other states.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. By Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com.
Today, President Obama kicks off a 5-day trip to South and Central America. First stop, Brazil, South America's largest economy, which has been growing like gangbusters despite the weak global economy. Dan Gretsch reports.
When Barack Obama was elected president in 2008, the U.S. was Brazil's top trading partner. Today, China is number one. Peter Hakam is with the Inter-American Dialogue. He says China has a voracious appetite for Brazilian raw materials, such as iron, soybeans, and oil.
trade with China has risen something like 5 times in the last 10 years. It's really pulled Brazil through the economic crisis without much damage.
Exports to China helped Brazil's economy grow more than 7% last year. But Brazil, like the U.S., has a love-hate relationship with China. Susan Siegel runs the America Society and Council of the Americas.
Brazil is very worried about the competitiveness of the Brazilian currency vis-a-vis the Chinese currency, just as we are worried about exactly the same issue, dollar Chinese currency.
Critics say a weak yuan makes it nearly impossible for manufactured products from the U.S. and Brazil to compete. Obama is traveling to Brazil with nearly his entire economic team. That includes the secretaries of the Treasury, Energy, and Commerce. Syndicated columnist Andres Oppenheimer says the goal of the trip is for the U.S. to team up economically with Brazil.
The world is splitting up in major trade blocks. China is creating a free trade area with Asian countries. Europe, of course, has a common market of 27 countries. And if we don't team up with Latin America, we're going to end up pretty much without major markets to export.
Obama gives the keynote address Saturday at the U.S.-Brazil Business Summit, then moves on to Chile and El Salvador. In Miami, I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
And finally, New York City is in the midst of a fight with a unicyclist. Acrobat Kyle Peterson has been pulled over and ticketed a couple times while riding his unicycle on the sidewalk. He says one time officers sang circus music to him. So according to the New York Daily News, Peterson is suing the city because the law only prohibits 2- and 3-wheeled devices on sidewalks. The city claims there's no real difference between a bicycle and a unicycle. Peterson probably just wants to have to avoid having to walk to work in his clown shoes. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Covering the economy is a 24/7, 365 kind of thing. So every Friday, we get a little help from our friends.
We were sinking fast, and we had no idea whether the world was coming to an end or not.
Oil goes high enough, people stop driving, they stop buying cars, they stop going out to eat.
There are bumps in the road, but consumers are starting to feel better.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Weekly Wrap, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.